Recording?
The recording is on.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Kathy.
Okay, and we have a note from Omar that he will be following the discussions. Omar, maybe you can type. Can you hear us? Can you hear the audio? Not able to use the phone, but he'll try to follow the discussion. So I guess he may be typing. Okay, so he can't hear us. No audio. That'll be interesting. So if anybody feels like typing notes to him, that would be great in the chat room. Okay, so the first thing on the agenda is roll call, which I think we've done, right, Alice? And roll call and apologies. We should probably look. The April 11th report is on the screen. Has everybody had a chance to look at that? Does anybody? It was a nice detailed report from Alice of what we discussed and some of the questions that were raised. So if you're still working on your action items, you might want to take a look at this because these are some really good notes. Anybody object to adopting this? Done. Thanks, Alice. Okay. Number three on the agenda is actually jumping into a substantive issue, data validation. Should this topic be added to our findings and preamble? We've gone around on this one over time, so let me raise the issue.
I'll jump in first. Then if there's a bit of quiet there, it's Peter here.
Sure.
I'm just wondering, having not made one of these calls for a little while, has this been discussed? The last I recall, I'm just trying to get the history of this, I recall there was a discussion on the email list a little while ago, maybe a few weeks ago, I think, and there was, a comment maybe from Seth, is that correct? Something along the lines that this was being considered somewhere and did we want to be the only people not mentioning it? I'm just trying to get up to speed with where we're at, so then I know how to frame my comments, I guess.
I'll just try my recollection and let others jump in too. Peter, for the last few calls, what we've really been focused on is number four, which is the specific findings and recommendations on specific issues that are still under discussion. So, compliance, proxy privacy, data accuracy is a new one. Susan was circulating because she had the pen on that. So we've been giving updates and talking about what the sub-teams have been doing on those particular issues. Data validation, I think, was raised as something we wanted to talk about, but I'm not sure there was much more than what Seth had circulated. At least I don't remember it, but maybe James does. James?
Thank you, Kathy. James speaking. I do recall that this subject was at least initially discussed way back in London or thereabouts when we first kicked off our work. I think that I'm not sure where it went, but I think that to bring it up now, we would have to reinvent a lot of work that's already going on in other areas of the community, most notably ongoing discussions between registrars regarding the requirements of the RAA and the what I believe to be is an ongoing TDP that's been initiated by the ICANN board. So I think we should be cautious in weighing in on this if we expect our recommendations to diverge from what's already happening. If we were to acknowledge that these things are already happening and say that we are glad to see them happening and we encourage these efforts to continue, then I think that is, probably one thing. But if we start saying that we want those things to stop or we want them to go in a different direction or we want them to fundamentally change what they're, what they're discussing, I think that is a different matter altogether, and we should really take a look at whether or not we want to tackle that this late in the game. Anything beyond just, signing off on what's already happening. Thanks.
Lynn, I think you were next.
Yes.
Thank you, James.
James, I have the same recollection that way back at the beginning of our work, we had discussion about this, and what I had understood is that we had concluded that data validation is a way of improving accuracy, and that we would focus on setting goals for improving accuracy and make our feedback focused on the accuracy issue, but that we would allow latitude in how people choose to achieve that improvement in accuracy. But data validation, there's certainly many techniques and ways to apply validation. And so the only thing that I feel like might be appropriate for us to consider at this point is maybe just to have a couple of sentences along those lines and generally reinforce or encourage that data validation techniques as a way to achieve the accuracy goals.
Interesting. Thank you, Lynn.
Am I the only person that had that perception that was what we concluded?
Hi, Lynn. This is James to respond to Kathy, if I may.
Please, and then Peter.
I think that does sound familiar. I think that we also maybe had made some mention that while this was ongoing, we were leaving a roadmap for future WHOIS review teams as well to look at our calls for data accuracy and to build upon those recommendations and take stock of where those were. I think the next one is required to kick off sometime in 2014 or something like that. So it does sort of sound familiar. Yes, thanks.
Great. Peter, I think you're next.
Thanks, Kathy. And thanks Lynn and James. Look, from my point of view, what Lynn said is my understanding as well. I was just keen to see whether I'd missed anything more recent before commenting. So, yeah, that was my understanding too, that we had decided to focus generally on accuracy and sort of to leave the mechanisms more open. But as James and Lynn have said, I'm comfortable, and I think it may actually be a useful thing if in our accuracy findings or recommendations, I'm not sure exactly where, I can see one point where it could fit, just a sentence or two noting, as we have with other recommendations, that one way to look at this would be validation, and the review team notes that there are ongoing discussions and whatever. Don't want to be prescriptive about the language, but it would seem useful to at least acknowledge the fact that there are other things going on in the community. We've done that elsewhere where there's WHOIS studies and so on. So in this one, I think it would be potentially useful if we just acknowledged that there were discussions which went to the accuracy question going on elsewhere, and we welcomed them, or whatever word we choose to use.
Question for everyone. Here it is with my hat, not as chair, but as participant. Would it be worth tying this into the contactability discussion as well, and to say that the direction one, in addition to numerous mechanisms for validation, and we weren't going to choose one, that we went in the direction of the low-hanging fruit, the contactability, and that we think that there are, validation ways on that, and something like that. Does it tie in at all, or are these separate issues?
This ahead. Is James speaking. I think saying that might confuse the message that we're trying to get across with this. The draft language that Susan just circulated right before our call, where we have some pretty clear definitions, and we're pushing off a little bit from the definitions used in the NOARC study. So I think we either be consistent and just reiterate or restate those definitions, or we stay away from it so that we are sure not to confuse those terms. Just my opinion. Thanks.
Lynn?
Yes, I agree with James that you know, the way I'm looking at this is that validation or authentication techniques and mechanisms, their end result is accurate data and contactability. So, I mean, that would be the purpose, to use those types of techniques. And rather than us getting involved with the details of implementation and the choices that could be made in different techniques,
right.
I think we've done the right thing to focus on what we want the outcome to be and what the deficiency is currently, and the deficiency is accuracy. So I think our approach is right.
Okay. Does somebody or does a small team want to be hold the pen on this? It sounds like there's some, you know, concrete ideas out there. Peter, Lynn, Susan, James, anybody want to hold the pen and do the draft?
Kathy, this is James. I just wanted to weigh in real quickly here. I think that there's an important point that Lynn just made that I wanted to support, which is that we need to be careful to emphasize that this is emphasize on the goal or the objective, which is accuracy, not the mechanism or the path it's taken to get there. And one example is when they talk about right now in one of the discussions, there's a discussion going on relative to data validation versus data verification, and there's lengthy discussions going on about all of the different elements between validation and verification and how those terms are confusingly used the same. And, you know, I think there's an example. There's just one of probably a dozen examples of something that we wouldn't want to reopen those discussions in our report. So I think Lynn hit it right on the head with, you know, if we can say accuracy is the goal, we can acknowledge that this is one of the mechanisms, but we shouldn't re-engineer the mechanism that's currently under review. And I'm sorry, I should mention, I would help circulate some language on this. Sure.
Excellent. That makes sense. Anybody want to work with James on that?
I rescind my offer if I'm alone. How's that?
it's Peter here. I'm happy to work with James on that one. I think we're all talking the same language. It's sort of, I entirely agree that accuracy is our goal, and we've got some really good recommendations and language about that. And I think, you know, having a reference to this other work is useful, and I'm happy to participate.
Is this something that would go both into the executive summary as well as the chapters?
I don't have a strong view about the right place for it to be. I've just been looking through the draft of the language that Susan sent around, but with the findings and recommendations. A perfect home for it is not leaping out of the screen there. I'm not sure whether it's in the chapter itself or how much prominence we want to give it, given that our focus is on the accuracy as such.
Okay.
But I don't know, others may have a view on that.
Let's give it some thought, because one of the things that we've been doing is picking out the language that, and we're linking the findings and the recommendations in a way that I think is going into both the executive summary as well as the report and the later and the recommendations that come at the end, because we want to bring both the findings and the recommendations to everyone's attention very clearly. So if this is something that people think needs to be highlighted, we should make sure that it goes in multiple places, both, you know, throughout the report and the executive summary. But I'll leave it to the subteam to make recommendations on that. Anything further on validation? And I kind of like the idea of not stepping into the landmine of all the other things that are going on that issue right now. Okay, number four, moving on to the proposed findings and recommendations language. Anybody from the compliance team want to talk a little bit about the language that's been going back and forth that was recently presented to the whole group?
Peter here again. I'm not sure who else from the compliance sub-team is on the call. Is it only me? If it's only me, I'm happy to talk.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, I should acknowledge that Emily's been doing most of the heavy lifting on this one in terms of drafting so far. And I guess it's a discussion that is still a little bit underway. So there's a number of things at which we were trying to achieve. As we discussed in Costa Rica, it seemed that there were two themes entangled together in one of our recommendations, which was the compliance theme and the who is strategic priority theme, I guess. So we want better ways of describing them. And we were looking to disentangle them, as I understood it, as much as possible so that they stood out as clear themes in their own right. In parallel with that, we've had our discussion, which everyone will have seen on the list, about getting figures for compliance staff and resourcing and so on. And there's been some parallel discussions, and there were some discussions in the public session of Costa Rica about compliance as well. So to give effect to that, as I must admit I'm not 100% clear to what extent we are looking to disentangle those two themes, the who is strategic priority and compliance. My understanding was pretty substantially, and I've seen a comment from you, Kathy, about probably raising the same point as me. The draft which is currently there, once we get to the final sort of paragraph in the recommendations, actually seems to have the two issues not completely pulled apart. A lot of it is about the compliance effort as such, and then there are some issues, and that's clearly related to who is, as in contractual compliance is a key part of an effective who is landscape, particularly with accuracy and so on. But I guess the question is the extent to which we draw them apart completely, so that there is who is as a strategic priority, and whether that is personalised through a who is SAR or not, or just through robust processes and so on, and effective priority within the organisation, and a similar thing with compliance, that there is an effective compliance, and this is part of the who is landscape. So I guess the question is how much we pull them apart to make them clear, so that there isn't confusion about the two, saying that if we ramp up compliance, then the problem is fixed, or if we put in someone in charge of who is, then the problem is fixed.
Right.
And really, we've in fact got two separate issues. So I think this is largely what it's about. It's attempting to disentangle these two issues and give each its own identity, I think.
Thanks, Peter. Let me ask a question. In that last report, in that last paragraph on the current compliance version, is there an intent to have compliance being a liaison with IETF, or is that part of a larger issue maybe that we've dealt with in strategic priority, just looking at one detail?
I'll answer for me because unfortunately I've been, as I said, out of office Monday and Tuesday this week, and I was sick a bit of yesterday, so I actually didn't get a chance to finish my discussion on this part of it. In my view, I think that probably sits elsewhere other than compliance.
Okay.
So that the section on compliance would purely be about the contractual compliance theme and the contractual compliance function within ICANN and ICANN's organisational makeup, where it best sits, how it's prioritised, how it's resourced, what its reporting lines are, and so on. And then other things such as coordinating, so looking at the text that's currently there, coordinating who is in all its aspects, liaison with IETF, monitoring and following, with working on standards, that to me would seem to be somewhere else.
Somewhere else. Me too.
But that's a discussion we've still got to have, I guess.
So do you think we should send this back to the sub-team?
Yes, that's one option. Otherwise, or people could give their own views as well. I'm not protective of it as such. So if other people have views on this, then it would maybe useful to get them early. Otherwise, you can go back to the sub-team and we can finish our discussions. And we can certainly put forward another draft for the next call.
Does anybody want to comment on this now? Well, in that case, let's open up both possibilities, Peter, if that's okay. Anybody who wants to take a look at it, and Alice, maybe you can add that we'd like everybody on the team, on the review team, to take a look at the circulated language of the compliance subteam. But comments should go back to the compliance subteam because they're still working on this issue. And they'll come back to us with another draft and perhaps suggestions for other recommendations that we're working on and other findings.
Yeah.
But it's getting really good. It's a nice piece of work, and much clearer. So thank you. I think it's a good set of findings and recommendations. Okay. Unless anybody wants to stop us, actually, I don't see strategic priority on the list. So let me ask. As long as we've been touching on it, does anybody know? I don't have it in front of me. Does anybody know the latest status on our strategic recommendation, our strategic priority recommendation? Or who's holding the pen on that? Is that Emily also?
Cassie, this is Alice. Emily is the pen holder of the recommendation.
Thanks, Alice. Good, and she's on the compliance subteam, of course. So. The two.
Yep.
We'll ask Emily to talk to herself.
We'll take. I believe we'll probably be involved with that too. So we'll take that one on notice and try to get something on both as soon as we can.
Great, because there's important things in both. Susan, I see your hand is raised.
So I was looking over Alice's list of responsibilities, and I committed to providing some language for this, but we did have. In this recommendation previously, and I know I keep harping on it, that a staff member or someone within ICANN would be held responsible or was responsible, let's put it that way, for who is. And, you know, in the ICANN staff comments, John Jeffries was named as the responsible person for who is. And somehow it's lost in the redrafting the recommendation, and I really think
right,
we
strategic
should,
or compliance, Susan?
Well, it's strategic priority recommendation 3.
Mm-hmm.
Previous wording was the board should ensure that a senior member of the executive team is responsible for overseeing who is compliant. And that's been lost in the latest revision. So I suggested that it be CEO, or I thought we should sort of up the standard to a higher level, either CEO or a board committee. But then it was taken out completely. And so, unfortunately, I'm not remembering why. And was there general consensus in doing that?
It's Peter here. Susan, I can have well, I've got a lot of chatter on the line. I can have an attempted question for you.
Okay.
I think this is part of what's been going on with disentangling the earlier recommendation 3 into two parts. Previously, the recommendation said it should be a who is priority and sufficient resources, and then switched to the language of compliance, and then there
right.
was senior member of the executive team. So there'll be two things that we're going to do as part of this, as I understand it. One is to pull out compliance and focus on compliance. Part of that will be what are the reporting lines, who's responsible for compliance, where does it sit in the organizational structure, without being prescriptive, but
right.
sort of looking at that. And the second one will be looking at those same sorts of questions from the point of who is, to the extent that it is a a separate sort of standalone issue that should have its own strategic priority. Now, I know there were, I recall our discussions about who we point the finger to, so that in effect, and I recall your point very clearly, and I think it's still one that I'm not sure how to deal with, but I think it's a very good one, and that is how do we point the finger at an appropriate structure or person in such a way that they don't say that ICANN can't say, well, we've already done that.
Right.
So a memory of the executive. I recall we did actually discuss the CEO, and I think we had the same problem in that the CEO is effectively responsible for everything, so ultimately he is responsible for this already.
Right.
And within the sub-team dealing with this, there was a recent concern raised about a distinction between whether we personalise it, so whether we appoint a person, or whether we in fact put some rules, regulations, guidelines around it instead of pointing to a person, whether one is more preferable than the other. That discussion, I think, hasn't reached an end point yet. But as with the compliance chapter, like anyone with a view, from my point of view, I think it'd be useful to hear those different perspectives at an early stage. So it's certainly something that we've been mindful of looking at this, but not necessarily solved. So how do we ensure that compliance and who is both receive the priority and have clear incentives and resources and so on, and how do we do that in a way that is meaningful and implementable? We're still grappling, I forget.
So is the intent then to make two recommendations out of strategic priority three?
Well, that's my understanding, but I'm not clear whether that's everyone's understanding.
Okay. So
do others have a view on that? Because I recall that was one of the things which we discussed in Costa Rica, was that they were potentially confusing in that if ICANN were to say, for example, that we are resourcing our compliance function far more and we're going to change the way that it sits within the organisation, that doesn't really solve our point about who is being a strategic priority.
Right.
And likewise, if they say, well, actually, we're appointing a who is SAR. Let's say for a moment we do go down the personalising the issue and we point to a person or something, and they do that, but that's not really going to fix the compliance issue. So in my view, either they need to be separate or quite distinct in some way, although noticing the cross-linkages.
James, did you want to comment on this?
Yes, thank you, Kathy. James speaking, and I don't know if this helps untangle the issue that Peter has raised. I did have a thought, however, of how to structure this recommendation in such a way that it would not necessarily be a dodge on the part of ICANN, that it couldn't be swept under the rug, and that it would receive, I think, the level of attention that we would require, that we're intending to require. And that would be to request or require that there be a committee level, a board level committee established that included the ICANN CEO, and specifically state that this is beyond just that, what do we want to call it, that nominal or ex officio responsibility that the CEO has. This is something that exceeds that level and actually goes to something a little more specific. So that was just one thought or one recommendation on how to give this the attention that it needs while still noting that it goes beyond just that one particular office.
And any response? I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah, I like that suggestion a lot, and I think it should be for all the whole who is issue is a priority, not just the who is compliance.
Yeah.
Right. Well, for starters, it could be this committee would be tasked with implementing whatever recommendations come out of this group. And then, you know, and require the follow-up and the reporting that we've seen, for example, from the ATRT, Accountability and Transparency Group. So I think that would be the starting point. And then as an ongoing purpose, this group would be charged with, for example, the measurement, the accuracy measurements, and some of the more long-term overarching goals.
And with instructing, question, and with instructing staff and overseeing staff on the on the measurements and compliance, as well as policy. So one place on the board, but also what would we assume is going to be happening in terms of senior staff if we go with the board-level committee?
Well, in my opinion, this is Susan, I think we would hopefully do away with, oh, we can't do that unless we change the RAA, or, oh, you know, that's not possible. You know, some of the railroading I think currently goes on with the who is issue. And, you know, you'd sort of get it out of the staff's complete control and into the board's viewpoint. I think we would, A, it would be a change, and B, I would hope it would be a really good change, and that they would see this, realize the seriousness of the issue and actually think outside of the box to do something. So,
thanks.
Well, just as a thought, I'm sorry to jump to you, just a thought, the board has to live with the RAA as well. So.
No, they do, but I also think, you know, well, I won't go there, but anyway, I just think that if the board sort of issues a mandate, fix this, there would be more movement within ICANN staff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's top down. You're going to get more of movement than, you know, one or two people trying to work an issue going up. That's my opinion.
Peter, did you want to comment?
Yeah, look, thanks, James and Susan, for that. I think that's a really useful suggestion. And just to be clear in my head, this one, it seems to be that we're talking more about the who is as a strategic priority. So,
yeah.
And in my mind, that's where this idea of a board committee, including the CEO, seems to sit potentially really well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to flesh it out and think it through, but I think that's a really, really good suggestion. And then if we... To keep the two issues disentangled, I note that the current wording that's in the recommendation relating to compliance is that we call for an independent report to advise the board on the current structure and to look at case studies and benchmarking and so on. So given that that is more of a organisational question, the way that the organisation is structured and so on. But to my mind, it still seems appropriate that there would be a report to look at best practice benchmarking and so on for compliance. And in terms of who is as a priority, it seems that we could be a little more, not prescriptive, but direct in that we could say, actually, it needs to be a priority and the best way to do that is this, a board subcommittee. So I think that's a very good suggestion. I'm just wanting to put it in the context of the two sort of separate issues. And that to me seems like a useful way of framing it.
So I took fairly good notes of what James had suggested. So I promise this time, to actually come up with some wording and send that to you, Peter. Would that be helpful?
That would be fantastic. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be great. Thank you. Very useful discussion on both compliance and strategic recommendations, and some new steps forward. Terrific. Anything else people want to talk about on this? In that case, we move on to proxy privacy, which is still somewhat in the... but let me just pause. Is there anything else anyone wants to say? Okay, then proxy privacy, which is still somewhat between the review team and the sub-team. The sub-team's been fairly quiet on this, but we've got some comments. I had posted a version that went back and added in some of our language on proxy and privacy about the ICANN policy vacuum and the use of proxy privacy services by individuals, organizations, and companies. I know Susan and James had responded a bit. Do we want to talk about this here, or would we like to push it back to the sub-team? I think there's a more recent version, Alice, but I don't know if you have it. I don't think that's the most recent version up.
No, it's not the one you've sent around, Kathy, so I think there is a more recent one.
I just want to point out that I got very confused this week over which version was operative. So if we can square that away in this call and punt it back to the sub-team, I think it would be progress.
I think that would be great. Seth, I know you're on the call, and you had taken, you and Peter had the lead on the original proxy privacy.
Well, I'm on the call, but I'm actually driving around, and I'm going to have to get off the call in a few minutes to meet a plane. So, I can say I haven't worked on it this week. I was so I really can't add anything other than I agree that the sub team hasn't finished the dialogue.
Okay,
Kathy, this is Susan.
Please.
So I think one of the biggest disconnects, and I think we do need the help of the whole team on this, is the last language.
Yes, that's a great idea.
The avoidance of doubt. That was in our final draft report recommendations that we sent out in December. So I'm not saying we have to stick to it. In fact, my recommendation, you know, my suggestion and my last email about this to the, I don't think I sent this to the whole group. I just sent it to the team. I mean, to the sub-team, was that maybe we point to the current language in the RAA. Would that be enough to satisfy, would everybody find consensus again on that? But that, at some point, we all had consensus on that language.
Let's see. Do you have the language in front of you, Susan? Is there some way that you and James could kind of summarize? Because I think the sub-team was going back and forth, and I see James has raised his hand. So first, I just want to make sure that everyone listening and listening to the recording at some point knows what we're talking about, even if we have to read it. I just circulated something that may help. James, would it help if I read?
Recommendation 16? Is that what you're talking about?
Excuse me?
I don't have recommendation numbers. But are we talking about the paragraph that starts finally for the avoidance of doubt?
Yes, that is recommendation 16 in our draft final report of December.
And let me just read it for everyone until we have it, unless we have it in front of us now. Finally, for the avoidance of doubt, the WHOIS policy referred to in recommendation 1 above could include an affirmative statement that clarifies that ICANN regards the registered name holder in the WHOIS data to be the entity that obtains all rights and assumes all responsibility for the domain name and its manner of use. That's what we're talking about right now. Oh, and it's right there in front of us. Good. Okay. James, go ahead.
Hi. So, you know, I'm not sure if I am asking the group to revisit something that was in the December report or not at this point. I mean, that may be the case. And if so, I apologize that it escaped me the first time around. But this is an important point because there's very, I think, clear language in the existing RAA that establishes, and I'll poke that here just real quickly into the Adobe box, section 3773. And it is a bit of a lightning rod right now in some circles. And it has a couple of important differences, I think, versus this paragraph, or what we're asking ICANN to state in this paragraph versus what is currently contained in the RAA. And I think that, you know, the short story is if we were to reference that this exists and, you know, I just would say, point that out, I think that's one thing. But if we're asking ICANN to reinterpret or expand or water down or you know, just somehow materially alter what's in 3773, then I think that that is a significant concern, because 3773 has some important components that are not contained in this last paragraph. For example, the component, the concept of a, it says something like licensing a registered name holder according to this provision shall accept liability for harms caused by wrongful use. And I think the key word here is wrongful use. So, you know, not just all use, but wrongful use of registered name, unless it promptly discloses the identity of the licensee. And I think that is, in effect, establishing a sort of a safe harbor for good actors, that, that if you are a provider and you have a process to, this is what we were talking about earlier when we talked about the reveal process, when you're presented with evidence of harm, that is one of the benefits currently enjoyed under this section. So my concern is that just taking kind of a from-the-hip shot at this in our report could confuse this issue, which is already somewhat convoluted. And then secondly, I think, you know, if I were in ICANN's staff position and I were asked to weigh in on this, I mean, I think they would point to, and I think Denise already did, point to the advisory that started to circulate around the time of Cartagena and was mostly not well received by all parties involved, you know, registries, registrars, and even some of the folks who had asked ICANN to clarify this issue. So that's my piece on this. If it feels like we're circling back to something we did in December, you know, I apologize if that's being taken that way. I think that it is something that didn't really occur to me and I think some of the others until the draft report was presented that this was a potential collision with something that already exists in the REA. Thanks.
Thanks, James. Susan, please.
So I'm looking at the comments, the summary that Alice put together for us, and it's interesting that, unless this may not be all of the comments, I'm not sure the date of this document, but on recommendation 16, the BC and the ICANN staff are the only two that commented, so it didn't cause a firestorm, at least, and ICANN staff references that same section of the RAA. I'm not sure how relevant any of that is, but either others overlooked it or they said, yes, this is great, but didn't comment on it. I don't know. Obviously, it wasn't offensive to most of the community.
Can I respond?
Please, sure.
Yeah, so I think Susan is that it slipped by a lot of us. I think that it seems when it's written in sort of plain English the way it was in our draft report, it seems fairly straightforward and innocuous. And it's only upon I think a closer examination that it says, "Now wait a minute, this is kind of rubbing up against something that we already have that actually is a little more formal in its establishment of." Some not only requirements and responsibilities and assignment of liability, but it also assigns some protections. And the way it's written in our report, it preserves all the liabilities and responsibilities. It just throws protections out the window. So I think that's where it kind of caught on. And yes, you're correct. I don't believe that that was something that was caught on until after some of the folks read the comments and realized that, hey, you know, this is kind of chafing up against Section 3773.
Right.
So where do we... Oh, Peter, please.
I'm not sure I have a... Well, I do have a view, but just in terms of the background for this, from my point of view, at least, it's very clear why we did this recommendation in our recommendation 16, and it is, in fact, to deal partly with the uncertainty that is created by the current RAA. Our number of, I don't have in front of me the comments, all the comments which were made to our initial discussion paper, but it was in response to those that we started to look at this, because a number of them said that the current RAA is extremely unclear and it is being widely abused. And that is why our attention came to this. So we had a number of stakeholders saying that the wording in the current AA around harm and, you know, to quickly revealing the underlying data and so on, whatever the exact words are, I don't have all that in front of me, were not defined, and they are being widely abused, and that needed to be addressed. And that was clearly why our attention went to this question of who is responsible, where the rights and responsibilities lie. And in Dakar, we had a very clear discussion for some time, as I recall, about making it clear that the rights and responsibilities are with the registered name holder. And we all acknowledged that that was going to have implications for proxy service providers, and it would potentially change their business model because they would potentially be accepting a greater level of risk. I think this was all extremely clear at the time. I remember discussing it for at least a couple of hours. So for those, anyone who doesn't recall, I would encourage revisiting those discussions.
Does anybody else want to comment on this? Let me just add part of the recollection also in Dakar that we were talking about those differences between privacy and proxy services. And although we had put more requirements in some ways on the privacy services because we were going to recommend, and this is just for recollection purposes, because we were going to recommend that they come, what we thought, you know, come under the mandatory requirements. In some ways, when I was thinking about it, I remember thinking that this type of provision might actually encourage more people to go under the privacy services because of this liability issue, that we had done some things that hurt privacy services by giving them mandatory requirements, but we had done some things that helped them because of this proxy liability issue that we were working on. So we'd worked on, I remember, long discussions on privacy and proxy. Anybody else want to comment? And would anybody like to suggest a way forward on this? Okay, then. I think this entire issue goes back to the sub-team for quick review, the findings and the recommendation, the whole edited version. I will send out a version tomorrow that incorporates what Susan, now we're talking mostly about the findings, going back to the top of this, the findings. Susan had asked for a reordering of some items, and I'll just double check and see if any other changes were made. But James, Peter, perhaps, Susan, perhaps you guys could work on that last paragraph where there's so much, I mean, this is important stuff. Could you work on that within the sub-team?
Sure, I can.
Maybe play out the discussion a little farther?
Sure. Yep, I'm happy to. And also, I haven't commented on the text which you circulated around, which I do have a couple of comments. Should I wait till you send them out to the broader review team to comment? I don't want to hold things up. Or would you like me to comment sort of today?
Sure, comment today, and then if there's something specific, I can take notes now and include it in the next version.
Where are my comments? I seem to have lost the saved version, but it's largely to do with the findings. Much of it I appreciate the balance that has been achieved there. It's mostly to do with the final dot points, I guess, the list of four dot points which are there. I think some of them are repetitive of points which are up at the beginning now. And probably given that the beginning, it now seems to be sort of top and tailed with positive things about privacy and with the concerns in the middle. But see, I'm not wedded to which order they go in, but I figure that the positive and negative should be bunched together and then followed by a conclusion. So I'm not sure that makes much sense, to be honest, having just said it out loud. But I'll put some comments in writing. I think, for example, saying in the final dot points there is a strong consumer demand for privacy and proxy services is pretty much repetitive of the first two paragraphs which are now in there.
Yeah, you're right.
Which provide a long list, you know, companies, organisations, individuals, what they're using it for. The first dot point, there is a right to privacy, I think is perhaps a little too blunt and contestable and is already covered off in the initial points. And so my suggestion, I guess, is for that final dot point list to be compressed into really the conclusion of our findings, which to my mind is the final dot point, that with appropriate regulation and oversight, the existing services appear capable of doing what we want them to do. So to the extent that there are useful things about proxy and privacy, and then that there are some concerns, and then then there should be a conclusion of some sort.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you want to take the next rewrite then, instead of it coming back to me?
And then send it to the group for comment, or back to the subgroup for comment?
Probably subgroup.
Subgroup?
Yes.
Okay, sure, I'll do that today.
Okay, but let me ask, before we take it out, I'm in the third section, Peter's in the third section. The section starts at the same time the review team recognizes, first bullet point, that there is a right to privacy. This was something that Milton Mueller asked us at the public forum, and NCUC followed up with comments on, that since it's kind of implied, they said, why don't you just say it? And so I just wanted to see it. So let me throw it out there before we automate it. Peter, do you have any objection to just talking about this briefly?
No, I have no objection to talking about it, of course. I think it's important.
Yeah.
I am scrolling up, and I agree it's probably not covered in the first couple of paragraphs. I guess the word that sticks with me is the word right, because that has a number of implications, and I'm not sure that there is a right to privacy as such.
Peter, this is
Lynn,
if I may jump in here. I agree with you that in Europe, for instance, privacy is held to be a human right, but that's not true throughout the world, and it's not true, for instance, in the United States, and it varies in different countries and different cultures, so using the word right does have some connotations that I think, could mean different things and could cause some unnecessary, objections or disagreement with our recommendations.
Mm.
So I would prefer not to use that word right, because I do think there are people on all sides of the issue who would react to that.
James, go ahead. Thank you, Lynn.
So while I disagree with Lynn's statement that we don't have the right to privacy in the U.S., I will agree with her conclusion that we should probably stay away from that word in various ICANN documents.
It's not that we don't have a right to privacy. It's in the United States, our legal system doesn't view it as a human right, whereas in Europe it is viewed as a human right.
Okay. I think that there's been, and we're not short of lawyers on this group, I think there's been a number of constitutional establishments of implied rights to privacy. But the point, I think your ultimate conclusion is correct, and I think that goes for Peter's as well, is that the word right is very troublesome to me in ICANN context. ICANN is not a government. ICANN cannot support or diminish or establish rights that people don't have under the jurisdictions that they live in or choose to call home or whatever is, their subject to. I think that we get into this sometimes when we talk about transfers. I have a number of folks that say, well, someone has the right to transfer a domain name. And I say, well, normally, yes. However, not if they're a spammer and the registrar has locked that domain name, for example. You know, so there are a number of contexts where the word right starts to confuse the process rather than clarify it. So I think that any way that we can rephrase that that does not use that word right or right to privacy or any other sort of rights. I mean, there is a document now that's been published called by ICANN called the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Document, which I had some concerns about that for the same reason. I don't think that ICANN is a rights-making or rights-defending organization, but you know, I'm sure there's a lot of folks listening to the transcript that are pulling their hair out hearing me say that right now. But anyway, that's my feeling, and I think that we're all kind of arriving at the same place. So we need to find a way to establish the expectation for privacy that registrants may enjoy certain things. I think as a business service provider, you know, we can set some expectations. When we say we have a right to privacy, then I think the next step is that someone believes it should not have to pay for privacy, which we also disagree with because that is an expensive proposition. So, you know, I think it's just a very loaded term, and I think that we should stay away. Thanks.
Great. Thanks for all the comments. Oh, Lynn, go ahead.
Yeah, just to follow on a little bit more, you know, at the same time, there seems to be so much attention and emphasis on domain name registrants, and where there is a strong consensus throughout the world is about data protection of people using the Internet and their personal data being collected and, you know, used in different ways without their knowledge or consent. And so the data protection aspects, you know, of people who believe that they've been harmed by these fraudulent uses of domain names, you know, doesn't seem to get as much dialogue in ICANN. And I just add that on to just reinforce again that when we use the word rights, then that leads to a discussion of, well, what are the rights of the people using the Internet? So it's just that much more reason, and James, I think we're in violent agreement that we just need to choose some other words there to prevent problems.
Oh, I apologize. I was on mute. Violent agreement is always a good thing, and that's great. Peter, can I pass this back to you for the drafting?
Yes. I've been furiously taking notes. I will draft something up today and send it back to the sub-team for comments. I'm sure I won't get it all right first try, but I'll try to make notes and move the ball along.
Thank you very much. And so some expectation of privacy, perhaps, but certainly not a right, and we don't want to establish any rights, if I summarize that in a nutshell, and that there are other concerns as well. Great. Unless anybody wants to say anything further on proxy privacy, the sub-team will go back to its lengthy work, now quite lengthy work, so great thanks to the sub-team on this one. And data accuracy. Susan, I think that's... I think you've got the pen on that.
Who did I send that to? I sent it to the whole group today. I don't know. Alice, do you have that? Did anybody get it?
Yeah. I got it, Susan. We didn't pick
up. Not the one.
Yeah, that's not the right one. Today's.
It did go to the...
Thank you for your work on that.
There you go. This one?
So I scaled down the findings. I don't know. I got a couple weeks ago. I got way too ambitious, and all of this language is pulled out of our report. I didn't create any new language. I may have shortened things, but I think it's important that what we say in the findings is what we say in the report. So I just pulled it. So it may not flow together as well as, you know, if I just drafted it. So the findings are up for revision. Didn't change, let me say, I added language into recommendation 5 that we discussed last call, using the terms that were defined in the NORC study. So if that doesn't make any, if you think it should be worded differently, let me know. And then my biggest question was on, and we sort of discussed this before, but I couldn't remember. My notes were not very good. So on recommendation 7, I had initially recommended that we, you know, add language, ICANN should provide a detailed and comprehensive plan within 3 months after the submission of the final WHO is review team report that outlines how ICANN will move forward in implementing these recommendations. So we had sort of talked, we had discussed making that like recommendation 21 or something. And so what I was confused with is, should we leave recommendation 7 as is under the data accuracy, or should both of those be moved, or should we lump them all into one recommendation?
Good questions. Anybody have any thoughts? What do you recommend, Susan? Oh, go ahead, Peter. Sorry.
I was only going to fill the void, but if so. I was going to start by thanking Susan for the work on this one. In terms of the findings, I think it does lots of good things. One thing I was going to suggest is the middle paragraphs of the findings seem to be the bits, or at least some of them are the bits where we go back directly to our scope. So we talk about law enforcement, we talk about consumer trust and so on.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of readability, what we are trying to do, and I think in the privacy proxy recommendation, is we've dot pointed those out.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, so it might be worth, sort of, we have a number of findings, and here is our dot point summary of how the picture sits against the bits of our scope, the law enforcement, the consumer trust, the meeting existing policies, whatever. Those sort of little heads of power that we have. So it might be worth drawing those out. Another little potential flag is the use of the word quasi-regulator. I'm not sure I have a better alternative, but it's something that we've been grappling with throughout this process, how to refer to ICANN's role. I wonder whether quasi-regulator will cause us more problems than not. I think it's actually a phrase that I've used myself for want of a better term, but I just put it out there that we may want to focus on that particular word at some stage. I recall on one of the telecom...
That is in the report, so that language is existing, so...
In that case, it could be my fault. but I do recall, for example, that from the notes anyway of the call with the compliance staff, that ICANN did not think that it had a regulatory role.
Right.
This is something that the GAC's interested in. We've actually asked the ICANN board to discuss that with us in Prague, ICANN's role as an industry regulator, to try to get to the bottom of this interesting question. But it's something we just may want to be mindful of. I don't have a better alternative. I just know that it may raise eyebrows somewhere.
Yeah, it really does. I've seen it raise eyebrows, more than eyebrows, in other circumstances. So I think you're absolutely right.
Could we agree on oversight, of which ICANN has oversight or something? Or is that not strong enough?
Where are we in the findings or recommendations?
I think in the, just to borrow again from the proxy one, which is clear, which we've been doing some wording on, we actually recommend there, the first part of the recommendation, I think this one hasn't been questioned too much, is that I can initiate processes to regulate and oversee something. So we seem to be comfortable in the privacy proxy one saying regulate and oversee.
Right.
Maybe that's clearer than quasi-regulator.
Maybe it is just regulator is the problem, because that to regulate and to be a regulator, to me, is there's a distinction there.
Yeah. So maybe if we change it from a quasi-regulator to saying the industry which I can regulates and oversees, something like that.
Okay.
James has suggested in the chat room, administer.
I'm throwing out some ideas here because I think the concern is that a lot of these words may have different, some of them we may encounter have very strict legal definitions depending on which government we're viewing them through. So I think when you use regulator, for example, in the U.S., it has some connotations where if you use administrator or commission or something like that in Europe or something, it raises some red flags. So I think, yes, we have to find something that is sufficiently vanilla that it doesn't trip over any definitions. And I always use manage. I think that one of the things that ICANN refers to itself quite a bit is as a technical coordinating body, or so coordinates might be another word. So anyway, just brainstorming here.
You know, let me go back to where I pulled that from out of the report, and, you know, because I was just pulling language, and see if in that context it appears differently. I think in a larger, you know, body of the report, the quasi-regulator did not stand out so much, putting it in the findings, and we were not comfortable with it, so we would need to change it both places.
Good point. Right. I like that idea of consistency across what we're highlighting, as well as going back. And that's what you really did in the findings here, is you pulled it out of the report. So now if we're going to change this, we have to go back in. Yeah.
So I can work on that and send it out to the group again.
That sounds great.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And thank you for doing this as a sub-team all your own. Much appreciated.
It wasn't that big of a deal, really. It took me a while. Okay, I will get that out. I'm just making notes for myself here.
Peter, go ahead.
Just a couple of other observations. One also in the findings, where the last part of the first paragraph, we talk about concerns about accuracy were raised in responses to our discussion paper. I think we should also acknowledge that we heard them in our public sessions and elsewhere. It's been a pretty consistent theme. I think we should make it clear that it's been widely made communicated to us that this has been a concern. And one other question, I guess, recommendation 5, putting in the language substantial failure and full failure, which I think I've already indicated that I agree with. I think so long as, and I think others have as well. We try to be very clear in and link it to the NORC definitions in a way that makes sense. In recommendation 6, with the language of unreachable, who is still there?
Oh.
Is that something that we would update, or is it meant to be different for a reason? No update? Okay.
I'll update. I was just focusing on 5.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And should have looked at, I was focusing on 5 and 7, tell you the truth. I will fix 6.
And then in terms of the actual question you asked, in terms of what do we do with recommendation 7 if we have this standalone one which talks about having facts and figures and so on, I think my view, just having a look at it now, is that it's probably not needed in the accuracy section. Recommendation 6 already sort of talks about having annual accuracy reports on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then if we have a recommendation, what was it, 21, it's going to be that we have annual status reports on progress towards all of the goals.
Right.
Then I'm not sure what 7 is left doing. I think unless I'm missing something, I think it could probably disappear. That's just my preliminary view, and I'm happy to admit something. Well, not happy to admit something, but that's my initial thought, if that is a help.
Well, and actually you had sort of highlighted it for me that I have always read 7 as who is overall and not just the data accuracy, and you pointed that out either last week or the week before, you
mm-hmm.
know. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to leave 7 without my revision even in the data accuracy. To me, it should be pulled out and moved. And so if we renumber all these recommendations, we may confuse ourselves ridiculously. But at this point, I think we almost have to. So I don't know if the group would, you know, the team agrees with that.
With the pulling out of number 7?
Yeah, and not deleting it, but moving it to either, you know, a different section of the recommendations. But it's not just pointed toward data accuracy. It's for who is in general.
Number 7?
Yeah.
Or the new 20? Okay. Because I thought what Peter was saying is that number 7 might be redundant with other things, with what we're already doing. Is there a way to merge 6 and 7?
Well,
not to the same report, but to the same recommendation.
Well, but I think, okay, unless I'm, well, I don't know, Peter, maybe you should speak for yourself instead of me trying to speak for you. Sorry.
I'll have a go. So if everyone's got open the, looking at the document, it's, on our Adobe Connect room. So there's recommendation 6, which talks about having accuracy reports on an annual basis. That's clearly an accuracy measure, and I think that probably should stay with the accuracy recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Then recommendation 7 is this, at least annual status reports on progress towards achieving the goals published, and they should include reliable figures. I think that what Susan and I, if I understand correctly, are both saying is that one is broader than just accuracy. This is to do with how are we going implementing all of our recommendations, including the ones about privacy and proxy and IDNs and what have you. And the text below there, where revised recommendation moved to last recommendation number 21, and on my screen anyway, it's highlighted yellow, is a proposal to, I guess, almost expand on the existing recommendations number 7 and take it out of the accuracy section and make it an overarching recommendation so that
mm-hmm.
we're asking the board to report on its progress, including facts and figures and so on, regularly on all of our recommendations. So it's getting, so if I understand correctly, it would be getting rid of number 7 from part of our accuracy and making it recommendation 21, broadening it so it applies far more broadly.
That's my thought, yeah. I would agree with you.
Okay. So we delete 7 and then put this in as 21, although it may become 20 when we've deleted 7.
Right. Or, not to confuse matters, break up my new revised, what was 7, and break those into 2 recommendations. So leave 7 as it is, but move it to 21 or 20 or whatever. Move it to another section, and then have the recommendation for the detailed and comprehensive plan be a separate recommendation.
But both at the end, because these
yeah,
are both things
the
we
end.
Want them to do after they've seen all of our recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
This is how they begin to report back to us and the
yeah.
whole community. Anybody object to that? Deletion, not deletion of seven, but putting it, creating two recommendations at the end out of what's the yellow highlighted text. Any objections? At least for the people on the call, you've got our full support. Thank
okay.
you, great. And I think that would be a lot more readable, too, to have it broken down into two.
Yeah,
it'd be,
I think
it's
so.
Hard to ignore and deny that it exists. So, good. Okay, unless anybody has anything to add, thank you so much for the discussion on that. And moving on from data accuracy to recommendation number three, which hopefully Alice will put in front of us.
Kathy, recommendation three
yes.
is strategic priority. So,
so we already did it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Earlier, so. But we did have the recommendation 17. It was decided last week that no follow-up action was necessary unless one of your edits were substantive. But I don't think you've had time to forward your edits, have you?
I haven't. Emily and I still need to iterate on that a little bit. They were tweaking things.
Okay.
Nothing major.
Okay, good.
So de-accreditation, I think James and I still need to iterate a little bit on that. James, I don't think we've done anything on that this week, have we?
Not since I think I sent a draft some language, but that was a couple weeks ago. So, yes, I think
right.
we need more work on that.
So with apologies, we'll get back to you. And similarly with IDNs, is anybody on here? Sarmad, Wilfried, Michael? I don't think anybody. So let me update you. We're meeting tomorrow, and you're more than welcome to join us. We're meeting tomorrow with two members of the ICANN staff, Steve. Alice, help me with their names, please.
Steve Shang and Francisco Arias.
Arias. And we need to talk with them about their backgrounds, but from my understanding and having seen them at some past workshops, they're among ICANN's liaisons to the IETF. They're at least doing some work with the IETF. They're involved with protocols, who is protocols. And so they've been the ones assigned by ICANN staff. And Denise, if you're still on the call, feel free to jump in, to talk with the sub-team, Sarmad, myself, and Michael, and Wilfried. And to talk with us about the IDN recommendations 18, 19, and 20. Michael has drafted some nice, I don't think it's been circulated to the whole group yet, but some nice revisions on those recommendations. They're shorter, tighter, more concise, more direct. I mean, they're good. And so we've circulated, with the permission of the subteam, we've circulated that to ICANN, to these two members of ICANN staff, to see if this solves some of the issues that they've raised. So we'll have this big discussion tomorrow and report back to everyone as soon as possible. Is there anyone who would like to join us on that call? If so, we'll make sure you get the contact information. Going once? Going twice? Okay, if you change your mind, feel free to let me and Alice know. You know, in the IDN world, this is fun stuff. There has been, as with other areas of who is, there have been some bottlenecks that have been going on for years. And, you know, I feel that here, as in other areas, we're beginning to untie some knots and set up some communication where there hasn't been as much communication across. There seem to have been some lines and some walls that were put up, and we're helping tear down some of these barriers and encourage communication where there hasn't been, and that's a good thing. Okay, that's the IDN update. Any questions about that or comments? Okay, then item four on our agenda is anything we want to discuss about the general revisions to the chapters and the final, well, let's start with general revisions to the chapters, and then we'll talk about final report timeline. Seth, are you still with us? I bet you're on your plane by now. In which case, safe travels. No. Okay. The team that was working, were people, how did we leave this last time? Does anybody remember with Emily how we left chapter revisions. I know Omar and Seth and are doing. We'll look at the whole thing and do a final edit. But are people editing individual chapters? Are we all going back to our own chapters? Does anyone remember? If not, we'll leave it for Emily to update us on this.
I don't have an answer, but Peter here. I guess I'm not returning to anything I've redrafted because until we have a clear view on the outcome, I'm not really sure what I would be doing. So the stuff I drafted on privacy proxy, for example, and compliance seems to be, I think we know where we're going. I hope we know where we're going, but I'm not really sure how I would redraft anything yet. So I'm not sure what the mechanism was, but just to confirm that I haven't done anything, I guess.
Me neither. I think all of us are waiting on finalizing the findings and recommendations, which makes sense. So let me suggest that we add this to the next call as something, but maybe we should talk about final report timeline. We're rapidly approaching the end of April. Do we think we can have all the findings and recommendations by next week? Have all of that language finalized? Does anyone think they can't? I think we're getting awfully close. So then it might take a week. Okay, go ahead, James. Thanks.
I can finish my assignments by by next week. But I think that to say that we're finishing all of our findings and recommendations, I think maybe it's better to say, can everybody bring back their assignments back to the group by next week? But I mean, to say that we would then
I misunderstood.
Sorry. Thanks.
No, good point. Have it all back to the group by next week. Okay. Then, unless anyone has any thoughts on timelines, I'm going to pass that to Emily for decisions. It looks like we're pushing out a little bit beyond our end of April deadline. Does anyone have any huge objection to that in light of holidays and things like that? I think we've done a good job and done the best we could. Go ahead.
Yes, Peter here. I obviously don't have any objection because I'm not sure that it's realistic to do anything else. I'll just flag that from my personal point of view, as soon as the GTLD applications are made public, I'm going to get dragged very heavily into the GAC early warning process, which is going to take up potentially quite a lot of my time. Doesn't mean that I won't be able to participate in this group, and I will obviously continue to participate until it's finished, but turnaround times for things like redrafting chapters for me will slow down a little bit.
Okay. Peter, if everything, do you think it would be a good idea to make this Friday? I don't know if it's possible, but this Friday a deadline for the revisions to the recommendations, or is next Wednesday okay, giving about a week then for participation with the chapter revisions?
Yeah, I can't imagine. I think Wednesday is more feasible. I'm really not suggesting that we change anything. It'll be up to Emily to decide timelines. I'm just sort of flagging and I guess everyone's busy all the time, but I'll have a new level of busyness potentially next month.
Yeah, I think everybody could be in that situation. Depends on who's applied and what they've applied for, but
yeah.
Now,
are you dropping hints, Susan?
What was that?
Are you dropping hints, Susan?
No, I have been very clear that we have not applied, but I am a little...
That's why I felt like it was safe to joke about it.
Yes, but I am very concerned about those who have applied. How's that?
Well, let's not get our cards ahead of us here. You know, let's demonstrate first that ICANN can actually run an application system.
we may never know who applied. Right?
Those of us who operate very technologically complex 24/7, you know, high uptime systems are kind of going to roll our eyes next time ICANN preaches to us about how we should run our system.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people not very happy at ICANN right now.
True enough. True enough. Do we think April 30th is still going to be the rollout? Anybody?
I don't know. No idea.
I don't know. I wonder.
It depends whether ICANN is able to do its initial checks and so on whilst it's looking at the system at the same time or not, I guess. How much confidence they have in what data is in the system. Which I haven't.
See, maybe they already have by sharing application data across different users. They were, and for you know, there was a community-based administrative check.
Thanks, Dave.
I like
great.
That a lot.
Yeah, they could spin that, you know. That's pretty funny.
They just need the right PR.
Well, it is 8:30 straight up. Is there any other business? And if not, thank you for an excellent discussion. It was terrific. I will send, Emily will have the notes. I'll also send her a separate note. And thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. Good morning. Bye-bye.